This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, what?
Yeah,
Doctor, what? Guys, welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Doctor Who After Show. That's the business I have to take care of because my brain is broken by this episode. See, I forgot to mute my laptop. Everything's going wrong. Hey, everyone. I'm Zach Wilson. Rachel Goodman's over
here. Hey, everybody.
Adrian, unfortunately, had to work. We didn't realize. I would have, if I'd known what this episode was going to be, I would have been like, Adrian, you are not allowed to go to work. Somehow we will get we'll pay for your bills. I don't know how, through internet bucks or something.
It's an excusable absence considering the content of this episode.
Can you tell that I am worked up? This is a very exciting episode. Rachel, how are you feeling right now?
I have a lot of theories. I'm also kind of simultaneously confused about how this is happening. I read so many articles after this, like trying to decompress, but my brain is very like I'm on explode mode right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand.
So we're talking, of course, about the episode The Fugitive of the Jadoon, one of my favorite just titles that we'd heard. When we saw like this episode coming up, like we knew there was a Jadoon, we knew it would have like a the Jadoon looked great in this episode. I knew the Jadoon were coming. That alone had me excited for this week's episode. I'm so thankful that I did not get spoiled for this. I managed to just get home and put it on and just watch it. So we're going to break all this down on today's episode. We're going to talk about Captain Jack Harkness.
Yes.
And his triumphant, beautiful return. We're going to talk about, we have now been introduced to another doctor. This is the 15th actor to officially play the doctor, at least officially for now, until somebody proves otherwise. We'll have to wait and see. But it's unless I'm forgetting someone else in canon, this would be the Joe Martin is the 15th person to have the, or to have the credit as the Doctor in a television canon
Doctor Who
thing, like movie or TV special. And we're going to try to break down how that's a thing tonight on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah. we're going to try.
So I'm not even sure where to start. Let's just get like the Monster of the Week thing out of the way, because that's, I guess, where it begins. And it was a cool conceit, I guess. They started this episode off like it could have been any old other Doctor Who episode, and they lured us into a false sense of safety.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about it, is that it felt like there was going to be some kind of twist. I mean, the Jack Harkness thing, like, it was like, oh my god, like, what is going on with that? But in terms of the actual monster of the week, I just figured, okay, Ruth is going to be there's. I figured there's some kind of, like, you know, biological cloak on them that's covering up who they really are. I figured they were maybe a Jadoon. Like, I didn't really know, like, what the deal was, but I figured they were some kind of alien, and that was the reveal. One or both of them was the fugitive. And then when we started getting the memory stuff that was kind of being, it looked like it was being transferred to Ruth. So my thought initially was, oh, Lee, like, when he died, they had some kind of connection where he was going to transfer whatever he was into her.
Yeah.
So I thought they were going in that direction.
It was, it's like a specter, and it, like, it's a creature of memory. And, like, as soon as they introduce memory, I do like the idea that it was a Jadoon. That's actually a really interesting episode where it's a Jadoon hiding from it, like a police officer from space hiding from other space police officers.
Yeah.
That's a cool that could have been a cool twist. Not at all what was going on.
Because when Gat showed up, obviously she's not.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jadoon, but she made me think that the person they were looking for, which seemed to be Lee at that point, she made me think that this person was a Jadoon who was in the army, who had, like, served.
It's interesting.
And went against them.
That's an interesting take on it. As soon as they introduced the lack of memory thing, or, like, the restore memory thing, my brain instantly went to Time Lord.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, waiting for a fog watch to be in that box. Like, I was like, oh, there's a fog watch or the equivalent in that box. Like, that's what this is going to be. It looked like it could have been, even though it was broken.
Yeah.
So it could have been just, like, a different take on the fog watch thing. And it unleashed. But it's like, we were thinking, like, I had to be thinking, it's like, it's going to be, oh, it's the Master. They're going to have, like, a series of people playing the Master this year. Or it's going to be, like, Romana or somehow the Valyard. And that's still something that we might have to discuss if it's the Valyard. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But I did not expect them to just be like, oh, no, it's the Doctor.
It's the other, yeah. And now, is it too, okay, because, like, what I'm dying to talk about is my theory on
this. Please, so let's just break down theories. And chat, I want you to drop your theories in so that we can discuss them as we go, because we're all still wrapping our heads around this. This episode did not give us answers. It just raised a whole lot of questions. And so most of tonight is going to be devoted to trying to unpack what has been told to us. So please, Rachel, what are you thinking right now?
So I think there's some kind of, like, dimensional bleed. That's my big theory. Either that, or kind of like how Ruth had her memories wiped. Why? Like, I'm assuming there's a way to just wipe a chunk of your memories. Like, there has to be. And so either they, for protection purposes, they have, like, one or the other has their memory wiped of just that version of the Doctor. Who it is, I would guess that Ruth is in the past, but who knows? But I think that it's some kind of interdimensional bleed, especially when it's coming to the Doctor's homeland. And just there, I feel like there's one timeline where everything works out okay, and then the other where it doesn't, and that's where the split is. And just kind of going off of that, I just want to give a shout out to Dorothy Banks, because she seemed to have the same idea as me. I wonder if there's another timeline in which there are alternative versions of the Doctor, and that's what I think.
I had a similar thought. So I think we're all, like, thinking similar. Like, look, we're living in a post Into the Spider-Verse world where, like, parallel universes in sci-fi and comic books and everything have been there for years, but they're a little bit more in the zeitgeist now, especially you have Crisis on Infinite Earths over on
exactly.
CW. The general public is more on board with that as a concept. And that's the obvious way to go. And, like, I don't even necessarily mean that as a bad thing, but it is the clear easy way to do this, because it's not the one that's not going to break canon. And Doctor Who breaks canon all the time. Don't get, like, especially under the Moffat banner, there was like this sort of, oh, that does kind of mess with canon.
Whatever.
Moving forward, Moffat was more concerned about an episode being interesting over being truly faithful to the ongoing canon in a lot of cases, for better or for worse.
And honestly, I think that's a to me, I don't have an issue when they do break canon anyway, because there's a million reasons you can explain why, especially when you're dealing with time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, when you introduce something like the War Doctor, and you're just like, and that one, like, kind of fit. He, like, made it work, but then there's stuff like the time, like, my time stream, and I'm going to jump into it, and it's like, that doesn't, but for that to exist, he would have had to have been dead, and now that he's not dead, like, that didn't happen, and now timeline's broken. But maybe this is Chibnall going in and be like, he broke the timeline there, and now we have two parallel universes, and there are now two different doctors running around, and that could be an interesting place in the timeline for it to have split, which is when the doctor went into his own time stream to save Clara. That broke the universe.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because we even get at the beginning of the episode that the Doctor is going back home and trying to, you know, like, going places where they don't know.
Yeah.
And there's, like, she's not letting them in. And so I feel like that would be the most, it would explain the most of where they're going with this, if that's what they do with it.
And we also are not, we're only, like, two or three episodes removed from the episodes where the Master is teamed up with a bunch of creatures from an alternate universe. Those weren't aliens, they were from another universe, according to the Doctor. So it could be that this is that universe's Doctor in some form. It could be that this, like, it could be the Doctor, or like a Doctor from like look, we also mentioned Cybermen in this episode. Maybe this is the Doctor from the Rose and Tennant era, like, parallel universe where the Cybermen come from during the Russell T. Davies years. There's other universes in play here, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Does any of this ring true to you guys at home or to you, Rachel?
Well, it rings true to me, definitely. This is also, like, kind of what we're talking about, too, but Saul Perez says, didn't they say there was no official canon?
I really like Avatar Carrion saying Doctor Who canon is a myth. That's good. I like that. But so, when they did the big reveal, it opens up a number of questions about who this Doctor is. They don't remember each other. Now, this is, so she says at one point, Joe Martin Doctor.
Yeah.
I'm just going to use their names.
I just call her Ruth, had that character name first.
Let's call her Ruth.
And the Doctor that we've known.
We'll call the Doctor.
Yeah.
But they're both, whatever. It's the Doctor, I might say Jody, just to make things clear.
Yeah.
The Doctor and Ruth. So Ruth says that she got there in 1999.
Now, I have a problem with that. Because I was thinking, like, first of all, we don't know, like, okay, so I'm just thinking back to when we knew her as Ruth and not the Doctor, right? Mm-hmm. So this whole time she's telling us, like, no, I'm definitely Ruth because I know my story, and she's telling us where she's from and the people she knows and all these memories. My thought is, are these actually her memories, or are these, like, when she wiped memories that she had, is this, like, an alternate person that she, like, somehow, like, you know, put those memories into her mind? That's so I'm wondering if that 1999 thing is even real.
I think it is real, because it falls in line with the way that we've established, like, the Fog Watch operating. So, because when the Doctor was there as John Smith, he still had enough memories from the era to keep him in place and fitting in the society that he was living in. So it doesn't, however that operates, it's able to give you enough of a history there to, like, fit in.
Yeah.
Because David Tennant's Doctor made it work. So I think that this Doctor, Ruth Doctor, Dr. Ruth?
Dr. Ruth, hey!
Dr. Ruth was new enough to, like, get by. Now, the reason that the 1999 thing is really interesting and sort of is like, is she in canon in our timeline? Because 1999 is one of the years where there was no Doctor Who on the air.
Yeah.
There was a movie in 1996, which was Paul McGann. And then there was the new Who, which started in 2005. So there's a nine-year gap in there, and that's where Dr. Ruth shows up. I want to call it Dr. Ruth. That's more fun. That's where Dr. Ruth shows up. So now in... I'm trying to break this all down so we can pick it apart. In canon, stuff that we have seen. We saw Paul McGann's Doctor turn into the War Doctor in The Night of the Doctor.
Yeah.
We did see that happen. And we saw the War Doctor turn into Christopher Eccleston's Doctor in The Day of the Doctor at the very end. So while the time... that date fits in terms of, like, there was technically not a doctor assigned in 1999. We have all the threads that should connect our doctors through that year.
Yeah.
Assuming we're not going to erase anything.
And I kind of, as you were talking about this too, I was thinking, she said that she was there in 99. Do we know how old she was when she arrived? That's my other question. Because
no.
I was getting the impression that she was still a little, you know, she was young. You know, like that it was, you know, she looks young enough now where I would think that she would have been, you know, middle school at that point, high school.
Yeah,
that's 20 years.
I don't know. I don't know. They don't establish like an age or anything.
Yeah.
I got distracted by the chat because Steve Kemet brings up a quote from a few episodes ago in The Master, and obviously this is going to be a big thing. Everything you think you know is a lie. And this sort of raises a really messed up question, but it's a big question. One of these doctors is correct. One of them is the doctor in our canon timeline, and I use canon as loosely as Doctor Who can ever use canon, even if we're just applying it to the Chibnall years. One of them is from our universe, belongs in our timeline. One of them does not, or has had their memory messed with to make this work.
Or neither of them.
Oh, no.
And there's another one. Or five more. Or an infinite number.
Look, you already broke me tonight by putting Jack Harkness on my TV screen in a new thing. I don't know what I would do if three more doctors showed up. If Matt Smith pops up in this season, I will lose my freaking mind. And I'll probably come in here again wearing a fez. And I say again, because if you've watched or listened to this show for a while, you know I've done it a number of times.
And well, the thing that bothers me too, getting back to Ruth, is that, so she had, obviously she had to activate this break the glass switch, right,
mm-hmm.
to actually bring back the memories. I'm surprised that she lived this life for such a long time, this lie for such a long time, that she was married, that she, you know...
Well, so this is another interesting thing, because we've got to talk about Lee.
Yeah, because who is Lee?
Who the hell is Lee?
We won't know now.
Well, we won't
or
know,
maybe
except
in the
that it, the, based on everything that happened here, we can kind of imply that he... Well, actually, here's a question. Was Lee a Time Lord?
I would say yes.
I think so.
I would guess yes, and I would think that at some point we're going to run into him again.
Well, he kind of... he did.
Yeah. Well, unless they're doing... I mean, like in maybe like a past timeline.
Look, it's Doctor Who. Wibbly wobbly. We could meet anyone we want to.
Yeah.
But he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's possible that he's like a human that he was the doctor's companion that she fell in love with. And then they like both did this. And that's why he reads as human. So that could be a thing. He could be in the same basic boat as Martha was when the doctor was John Smith.
Yeah.
where it's like, oh, I have to watch over you and make sure in case anybody shows up. And it's reasonable that, what was it, Gad?
Gat. Yeah.
Like, Gat, there's so much going
on. I know. There's so many.
Gat knew who he was as the Doctor's companion.
Yeah, because she definitely had, there was recognition there, which may, that's part of the reason why I think that he was a Time Lord. And that, yeah, because she, there was more, before we had the reveal that Ruth was the person that everyone was looking for, before we had that, we, it seemed more like they were going more for Lee, especially with the box and how he knew about it. And I was just taking it like he was a big deal too.
Yes, but I mean, I think you could say that about any of the Doctor's companions too. Like, think about, like, you throw Rose at any of the, like, you're throwing Bad Wolf at people, or you throw Donna. Like, Donna could destroy everybody with what she knew at different times. Like, all of the, a lot of the Doctor's companions, maybe not all, but a lot of them have had wide-reaching impacts upon the universe. So it's possible that Leah had a similar level of importance. And I could see, look, I could see any of the Doctors showing up to the Council of Gallifrey and being like, this is my human companion, y'all better recognize. And then look, the Doctor, the Council is scared of the Doctor, pretty much most of Doctor Who's history, especially more modern Who.
Yeah.
The Council is like, the Doctor has is a problem.
Yeah.
And like, we need to be wary of the Doctor. So anyone the Doctor says is like at their level would scare the Council as well.
Yeah.
So I at this point, I think Lee, because the chat is pointing out that they mentioned that he is her protector, and again that falls in line with the with a Fog Watch situation. If the Doctor's companion 90% of the time going to be human would be in this situation. So not Time Lord, but human.
And we kind of have a funny comment here, too, about that. Billie Jean Girl 24, the Doctor's only been in love with two people, and that's Rose and River. We're not adding Lee to that list. I mean, that's okay. Next question. If she doesn't, did the love happen when she was the Doctor, or did she have her memories wiped first and then she fell in love with Lee? That's what I was wondering too, because then it's like the protector, and then it's kind of like Lee took advantage a little bit, but I'm not reading it that way, so I'm almost thinking they fell in love first.
I think it has to be first, because they obviously knew each other very well if he's going to be a protector, and knew more secrets about her than she did. So they'd been together for a long time.
And I feel like Lee, if this had not happened before the memory wipe, then he probably would have never let it get as far as it did with the marriage.
Yeah, and look, I think we trust the Doctor's judgment, and we trust the Doctor's companion in that same fell swoop. And I'm just going on right now, in that case, under the assumption that this is the Doctor. Now let's look at all the evidence around that, because the other possibility is that this is this. I mean, look, this could be. I don't think this is pre Hartnell Doctor, but the ship looks like Hartnell's ship with like some different lighting and stuff. But the walls are very much First Doctor.
Yeah, and that was the other thing with the TARDIS is that I feel like she is definitely, if they are the same timeline, which I don't think they are, I feel like Ruth came first. I think that that's definite, like, to me, just the way that the ship looked and just the way, I don't know what it was about how they were talking, too. As similar as it was, it almost felt like, it almost felt like Ruth was, there were certain things like I almost felt like a character development thing that hadn't happened for her yet that we were seeing more with the Doctor that we know right now.
There were differences. Like,
and the weapon thing too?
The weapon is, so this is the big clue.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Gat's dead.
No. Yeah.
They think it was, she's like, she makes a point like they think it's a weapon. I think that that's like a short range teleport, basically. Like she made it look like she killed her, but actually teleported her somewhere, or the TARDIS took her, or whatever.
I mean, but I think that that's a possibility, but I will point out that it looked exactly the same as when we saw Lee die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of where that happened? Was it Doctor... I can't remember if it was Doctor Who or a different show. I talk about a lot of television, guys. A lot of science fiction television. But there was some show where they made it look like somebody got vaporized. No, it was Doctor Who. It was the Master. It was when... Or Missy. It was when Missy, like, teleported away in the Cyberman episode. It looked the exact same as a vaporized ray, but it also is the same coloring as a teleport.
Yeah.
A short-range teleport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Doctor Who's done this recently.
Which then begs the question, is Lee still alive then?
No, because he was shot by a Jadoon.
Yeah, so, that's true.
No, he's gone. Yeah. I'm sorry. Lee's gone. but I don't think the Doctor would have killed Gat like that. If this is the Doctor. Now, is this the Valier?
And if it is, if she is from an alternate dimension, there could be things slightly different about this person that she would do something like this. So
now the Valyard is supposedly just like gathering of all the dark parts of the Doctor's personality crammed into one person.
Yeah.
This Doctor, Dr. Ruth, seems pretty like good and chill as a good person. Doesn't seem like the culmination of all of the evil that's built up in the Doctor over millennia.
Though I was a little bit concerned for a second when she first got her memories back, the red in the eyes. I was very concerned. At first I thought, before they saw the ship, I thought, oh, this is not a good person.
I mean, when they started digging up the TARDIS, I thought this was going to be a, like, we're going to get some memento-style circular, how did my TARDIS get down here thing. I thought we were doing that. And even at that point, I was like, that can't be... She's not the Doctor. That doesn't make any sense.
I kind of guessed when we saw the TARDIS that that's what they were trying to say about Ruth. At that point, as soon as we saw it, I was like,
too much for me. So I don't think it's the Valyard. That doesn't seem to add up.
Yeah. I just want to point out one other thing from the chat, too.
Please.
Ethan Nagai says,
help us.
Also, Ruth Doctor didn't really recognize the sonic, which wasn't used until later incarnations. So...
Which she does say that she does sort of try to cover that, which did feel like a cover, because she doesn't, like, call it a sonic or be like, you're scanning me, blah, blah. She's like, what is that thing you're waving around? And then when the... But you're absolutely right. Or the first Doctor, again, similar ship, was it the fourth Doctor, I believe, who was the first one to use a sonic?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So...
Let me see.
It stands to... That's another just, like, anomaly that... And then she says, oh, I'm too smart to use one of those. Like, I'm too smart to need one of those.
Yeah. And I think what it is for me...
The Doctor takes that very personally.
I could see it being that even Ruth Doctor, that maybe she's just not... If she is the one who came after the fact, maybe she just doesn't want to admit that she knows certain things because she doesn't want to mess with things. But I think the dead giveaway for me is the fact that it's like two different realities we're hearing from, you know, the two different doctors. So that's, to me, why I'm sticking with my multidimensional theory where it's got to be that it's just, yeah. That
alternate universe. And that also... I think might explain where our master this season came from, and would not. Now that would be great because that wouldn't step on Missy's arc.
Yeah,
that we had talked a couple weeks ago about. It was one of the few caveats about, at least for me, about the Master's return, is that a Master coming back into this maniacal evil form felt like it was a disservice to all of the work that. That Missy had done to grow and change and become a better person. And, like, yeah, it's, you reset who you are when you regenerate, but it was like, no, but
we
that was so interesting the way that they did that, and then it just seemed to be to go away.
Yeah.
But if it's a master from a different universe...
It's more explainable and not as much of a, like...
And is that the truth that made him go crazy and murder everyone?
Also, to answer the question about the sonic screwdriver,
yes,
March 1968, Fury from the Deep is the first appearance.
And what? Who is the Doctor? At the time.
Let me see.
Oh boy. So while we're trying to break all that down, but let's also, I want to, because there was, I thought this whole episode discussion was halfway through this episode, I thought we were just going to come in here and be basically just fangirling out over Jack Harkness, you guys. That's what I thought tonight was going to be. It was just going to be a Jack Harkness retrospective and fun time chat. And that was like the most minor thing that happened in this episode.
Literally thought, exactly. I thought as soon as we saw him, I was like, okay, like he, like I literally made that, like I bolded it. Like I thought, okay, this is it. This will be the discussion. But no.
Minor, ultimately minor piece. But yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about
second Doctor, by the way.
It was the second. Oh, yeah. Why did I think it was the fourth? Anyway.
So Jack.
So Jack pops up. He just like he's scooping people. I love
the kiss.
One, Jack tried to just kiss the Doctor straight up.
Yeah,
no hesitation. Super on point for Jack Harkness.
Like, hey, I'm back.
Hilarious that he picked up Graham, and Graham just like being like, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, and I loved the humor. I loved the callbacks that we had, and he's like, oh, well, who is he now? Not a he, a she, and how he kept thinking that it was, like, every time he scooped up more, like, of the crew, he kept saying, oh, he looks a little like, you know, like making fun of these people.
And it was the perfect Jack response when he heard that the Doctor is now a woman, because he just goes, oh, I have to see it. He got so excited, as we knew. We've talked about it a number of times on this podcast. We knew Jack would be very excited to meet
the female.
A female Doctor. And now he's going to meet two, apparently.
Yeah.
So this Jack Harkness, like, look, he's been through Torchwood and doing all this stuff. He's stolen a ship. Like, this is obviously pre-Face of Bo Jack Harkness.
And he was bringing up the nanogenes, and
So what's the history on the nanogenes? Is that
so? Just what we saw when he was trying to give them, you know, the warning of the future. Which my mind is blown on that alone, because I'm trying to. I almost feel like it relates to this whole Doctor Who crisis that we're having. No pun intended. Well, pun intended. but I feel like it's related in the sense that this multidimensional, like he's coming back to them saying, "Hey, you can change this." And I feel like maybe he's from, you know, the other Doctor's world.
He could be from the other universe, like especially if it's a similar timeline, and this isn't an early Doctor, but this is a like replacement, let's say for 10.
Yeah,
like this is instead of Tennant, it's this Doctor kind of that kind of era. Then, but oh no, but couldn't it be Tennant, unless it's a vastly different time stream, because Tennant was where they met, or were the bulk of their time together. So maybe this is like a post Matt Smith, or even a post Capaldi.
Yeah,
like it became her instead of Jodie. It became Jo Martin.
And of course, we have the age, not aged a lot, but like you can just tell, since he hasn't been on in a while, like the age John Barryman. So
he doesn't look that much older. he hasn't been on this show in like 12 years.
Yeah, it's been
a
while.
And he looks like he's been on Arrow for a while. He's been doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's
good on Arrow.
The same.
Yeah.
That man did not age, or they're using special effects. But regardless, if you look at actual photos of him, he has not aged. Like,
I mean, so
witch is what I'm saying.
He probably is. I wouldn't be surprised. But when I saw, like, you know, I went back and I was looking at the photos, you can tell like he's definitely a little bit older now. But obviously, he doesn't look 12 years older. It's it's still kind of crazy. But I feel like that we kind of came back in with the same energy, and it was interesting. I kind of like this new vibe with the new crew too.
Yeah, I like his interactions. It felt like Jack.
Yeah.
And he dropped a lot of lore on us all at once.
Yeah, like really.
Don't trust the lone Cyberman. The Fallen Empire sent him back. So we're going to do some more Cyberman stuff soon.
Yeah.
So we've got... Let's just, we only have a few minutes left, and I think we just need to do a checklist through, like, all of the pieces that Chibnall has laid out for us to this point. Because, look, we complained last season that there wasn't enough serialized through lines going on. Like,
now we've got them.
In, like, two episodes, Chibnall's just like, oh, you want that? Okay.
No problem.
Here's all of it! I'm sorry if I broke anyone's ears with that, but... So the Timeless Child is some kind of Gallifreyan lore that caused the Master to have a nervous breakdown and murder an entire planet of people. Now, at the same time, there is a potentially alternate universe Doctor, and where Gallifrey has not been destroyed, and Time Lords are running around like they own the place, like Gallifreyans of old. Now, meanwhile of all that, some point in the future, they're going to have to fight the Cybermen again. And the Cybermen are going to, it sounds like, do a Terminator move and send one lone Cyberman back to the past to, I don't know, kill the Doctor or something.
And literally...
or the Doctor's son, if it's the sequel.
And literally it was like, don't save them. And it was, yeah. So it sounds like, it literally, I felt... Terminator vibes, definitely with that. And
was it don't save the lone Cyberman?
I think it was don't save them. Let me make sure. Yeah, but I remember, like, because she was even saying when she was talking to the crew about this at the end that it, like, they seemed like they were a struggling, you know, group, but not to help them. Let me see.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it down somewhere, and we're both double checking it. But Jack does say he's going to come back, so I think we're looking at a finale where we get Jack back, and Jack can meet Jodie Whittaker's
Doctor.
They
couldn't just drop him in and then, okay, goodbye.
No, this to me, like, as much as I want it, like, I was, this is almost better. The tease of it is super fun. But he does say, I'm going to see her again, maybe not soon, but when she needs me, I'll be there. And I would gamble that at the end of the season in the finale, she's going to need him there.
Yeah.
And he's going to show up.
Yeah, don't give the lone Cyberman what he wants.
Okay.
Like, don't help them.
Yeah, don't give him what he wants.
Yeah.
We have no idea what that is. Look, it could be that the Doctor unleashes the Cybermen on Gallifrey, and that's how he destroys them. I mean, look, the Master is manipulative, but he's not a one-man army. He just knows how to control other armies. Okay, so before we sign out here, I want to do a real quick who's who on who. There it is.
Oh my god, I'm out of breath in this episode.
So normally Adrienne would do this, and she does a wonderful job. I'm trying to keep up with her. Really, there's only, we gotta talk about this one guy. Who's he? Who's John Barrowman?
Who's
who on who? No, that was a joke. I don't need to talk you guys through who John Barrowman is.
We don't even need to say his name, probably.
Look, if we say it enough times, he might just appear, and that would be wonderful.
That would be amazing.
we might get some YouTube content policy violations if he was here. But but the actual person I want to talk about for Who's Who on Who is Joe Martin, who, as we were talking before, 15th person in canon to get the credit introducing Joe Martin as the Doctor, which was hidden in the credits for this one, but it was still there in its own little, like, section. Joe Martin is a character actor. She's done a ton of different things. Has been in a couple of British soap operas. I've heard of almost none of these things, so I can't really give you the details on them. However, she was a recurring character on a soap opera called Doctors, which I found hilarious. She's currently on a show called Holby City. She was in an episode of Fleabag this past season, in season two. And she had a small role on, I believe, the prison committee in Batman Begins.
Interesting.
I don't know a ton more about her because she seems to it's mostly British content. But other than what I get from BBC America, that's pretty much all I can see in the States. Oh, Saul Perez. Okay, so let's do a quick round. Well, actually, this is super relevant because I got to... Sorry, Jonathan. Can we do some, give me the news bug for a second here?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Because it almost felt irrelevant until this episode. But this week, Jodie Whittaker was talking in an interview about her time on Doctor Who, and she basically confirmed that she's going to be doing at least one more season of Doctor Who. Now, this felt like, yeah, of course she's doing another season. They didn't announce it. They're not doing a whole thing. Like, she's going to be back. Now that's a bigger thing. There's another person playing the Doctor
because
running around.
Is it going to be that we see Joe Martin? Or, like, as the next Doctor? Or...
Well, it's like this could be the other Doctor situation where we see her for an episode or two, and then she goes away, and because if she's in parallel universe, then she goes off, and, like, they can do some comic books with her, because she just exists. But she's not a canon Doctor. Oh, my head. This hurts my head so much. Let's real quick just predictions, and then we're going to leave.
Go get some Tylenol.
I'm going to go to bed. It's only 8 o'clock here. Technically, the West Coast feeds, the East Coast feeds is what I get even here. But, like, West Coast feeds are only just getting this. But I'm going to go lie down after this. I like, just from the chat, Saul Perez says, Dr. Ruth is the lone Cyberman.
I saved that to read it. So that was exactly what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
I am going to agree with Saul, to be honest. I think that, I mean, there has to be, I feel like Ruth Doctor is going to play a bigger part. We're going to see her again. We need to have this explained before we just kind of, you know, our brains explode from this. But, so I feel like, yeah, I feel like we're going to see Dr. Ruth. It would make sense that she is the lone Cyberman, but I'm almost wondering if that... I don't know. Part of me agrees with that, but like another part of me thinks, well, that feels kind of too convenient, but you never know.
Yeah. What if, because then like the fallen empire could be Gallifrey. Like they're an empire that has fallen.
Yeah.
What if they send a Cyberman back and somehow create Cyberman? I mean, like, you literally split open my head, and there's a billion possibilities now. So I would say I'm going to predict that the Fallen Empire is Gallifrey, and by sending this lone Cyberman back, they are going to break the timeline somehow, and that's how we get this Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
And that's how we got these monsters from a few episodes ago, coming from a different universe. They opened up some break, and there's two timelines, and then those monsters and the Doctor like came over, and we Crisis on Infinite Earths, two universes together, and now, or the Doctor is still in the wrong universe, and like there's just we haven't realized it yet, and now next season's going to be we have to get home, and we're doing Voyager now. Something crazy is going on, you guys. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. If you enjoyed what you just saw and us yelling, leave us a note, leave us a comment, go onto iTunes. If you're on YouTube, hit the thumbs up button. If you're on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, wherever you're listening to this, hit us with whatever that platform's version of a like is. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. It really does help other people find our rantings and ravings. And that was what tonight was, just ravings and ranting and...
I'm trying to... detangle.
Rachel, where can everyone find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Rachel Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. I'm also on the Young and the Restless Stumptown and the Curb Your Enthusiasm after shows with AfterBuzz.
Nice. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I'm also on our sister network Popcorn Talk, where I talk about Marvel movies once a week on Guess what? Marvel movie news. I've got a whole bunch. It's going to get into crazy season soon because there's a whole bunch of Marvel movies coming out this year. So check in with us there. I also have a very weird podcast called Ships in the Night. Rachel's been on it.
Yes.
Where we talk about cross fandom ships. There is an episode with Zia that I keep plugging because it was a Doctor Who relevant episode where we shipped the Doctor with Dr. Niles Crane, and that was hilarious. I can't wait to do more, and I think you're going to see a very familiar face very soon on that show. Once again, it's Ships in the Night, available wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I hope this helped calm your brains and maybe repair some things. No, I'm hearing TARDISes that I don't see. I'm scared. All right. Goodbye, guys. This is AfterBuzz TV Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us. Bye.
Bye.
Send help.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.